This is always the trickiest part. Sit down, please. The trickiest part is moving to the next week and not spreading your sermon notes like confetti around the floor, which has happened. I love St. Paul's, though we're dealing with Luke's Acts and St. Paul and St. John, but I love St. Paul's opening lines to the wayward congregation in Corinth. For since in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. Let us pray. Holy Spirit of God, arise and settle us. Open the eyes and ears of our heart of hearts. Speak to us through the folly of preaching, and call us into ever deepening, abiding love with you. Amen. Our first extract comes from Acts, and it's actually a wonderful dramatic episode. And I would recommend homework, chapter 10 of Acts to the beginning of chapter 11, because this piece that we read this morning is just a tiny photograph, and you need to get the context. But we are witnessing in this the emancipation and liberation of Peter from the Judaic religious mindset, which was effectively impeding the gospel spread among non-Jewish people. Jewish Christians had naturally assumed that before a non-Christian could become a non-Jew could become a Christian, they must first convert to Judaism and all that it entailed. It took the direct intervention of the Holy Spirit to shatter this mindset and release the gospel to go among the Gentiles, the peoples of the nation, the Goy. And it starts. Peter went up on the household about to pray. He fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord. For I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him, "What God has made clean, do not call common, unclean, or profane." And I love this little piece that's added on. This happened three times, and I think of Peter's three denials. And I think of Jesus calling him three times saying, "Do you love me?" And even in Acts with the Holy Spirit around the place, it has to be repeated three times to Peter. Peter was inwardly perplexed by the radical prophetic vision. He was not to know how radical a shift that was about to take place to the young church. Because the next day, kosher Peter would find himself stepping over the threshold of a Roman centurion's ritually unclean home, thereby deliberately making himself ritually unclean. In that home, Peter shares the gospel with the non-Jews gathered to hear him. And while Peter was speaking our extract, and I like some of the words here, I'll highlight them. While Peter was speaking, the Holy Ghost fell upon all who heard the word. Wow. Fell upon them. There's nothing tipsy toes. He fell upon them. He He fell upon all those who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished. I don't believe it. They were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit was, and another beautiful word, poured. Nothing, everything is generous. There's nothing mean here. Astonished. Fell upon them. And the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Hey, can anyone withhold the water of baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. In the Czech language, pozorfo, pozor. Pentecost is only around the corner. Could happen us. This account shows that it sometimes takes fervent prayer, the intervention of God's own Spirit, and an obedient believing faith to shift our prejudices. For the believer, the Spirit is the one that testifies. The Spirit is the Spirit of truth, enabling us to identify the habitual, psychological, cultural, and ideological lenses or filters through which we have been perceiving reality and truth. We've got to shift it. And God's grace is the only thing that shifts the gunk. Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you," and appoints us to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, folks. And that has always unnerved me a bit. I don't know about you, but I felt obviously burdened and unable to measure up to these expectations, to these commands. But John assures us that Christ's commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, or faith. Now, an interesting challenge I give you, or faith. Go through John's epistles. Go through John's gospel and see where the word faith is used by him. You may find it's not. This may be the only place where the word faith is used. John is very Jewish. The Jews like concrete, tangible things. The faith. Grab it. There is a truth that has grown out of Christian living, of Christian witness. What God demands of us, he provides the means, the support, and the grace to attain it. Repeat it, because sometimes there's a time lapse between the thought grasping our brain and it entering our heart, and from our heart out into our behavior. There's a time lapse. There is a truth that has grown out of Christian witness. What God demands, he provides the means, the support, and the grace to attain them. I'm getting a little suspicious because this is the third time I've been counting the number three. It wasn't deliberate. In Christ is our victory. And through John in the epistle and the gospel readings, the Holy Spirit gives us four keys. I only treat three in the sermon, so you'll have to guess which one I left out. The hard one. believing, loving, abiding, and obeying. Believing, loving, abiding, and obeying. And very Jewish. All verbs. You know, even the Jewish word for meditating is root, its root is from the action of a cow chewing the cud. You chew over it, you chew over it. Believing, loving, abiding, and obeying. All verbs, and we know from our old grammar, verbs are action words. They're doing things. So we're in the area of praxis. With John, one does not have faith. Rather, one believes. Believes. Faith, belief, is something that we do. Something that we exercise. Like a muscle. No magic. No magic. Exercise. Do it. Do it. Do it. Something we practice. For John, faith or belief is not an abstraction, not something intangible. On the contrary, it is living, it's tangible, and it is an activity. Believing is our key. The means by which we are born of God, by which we become children of God. Jesus was asked, what must we do to perform the works of God? And he replied, believe. Believe in him whom God has sent. Believe. It's an action. Don't be caught up with the Greek idea of the concept, the great, you know, intangible abstractions. We're dealing with Jewish writers, Jewish culture. Action. Loving is the second key. God is love. Learn to go to the source. Without love, we cannot claim to know God. God's love is the creative basis of our rebirth and our salvation. The love of God regenerates in us, not a self-centered, self-serving love. The love of God in us, that passionate core, blossoms into sacrificial love. It blossoms into the extra mile. The extra patience for me, the extra moments of keeping my mouth shut before I put my 2 feet into it. I have moments, as Father Ricky, you say, of incandescence. And he spent his time, and he left, unfortunately, before it was completed. Nathaniel is praying for me, of incandescence. This is where we get it, from the love of God. It blossoms into a sacrificial love. Loving actions for the good of others. If we do not love others in a tangible and sacrificial way, we cannot claim to love God. And always remember, we love God because he first loved us. It's his grip on us that matters more than our grip on him. Jesus reminds us also, you did not choose me. I chose you. That's us. I'm avoiding asides. I'm under the starter's orders. I have asides. I have many asides on these things. So with new birth, divine love becomes part of our spiritual DNA. And we cultivate it. Think of the parable of the sower and the seed. This new love becomes a state of being, or what we call a state of grace. I can't remember where I copied this from, so it's copyright, but I don't remember the author. Love is not only what we have to do, it's how we do it. Love is not only what we have to do, it is how we do it. We don't suck the grace or the happiness out of something by doing it out of what was called charity. The command to love. And notice it's a command. There's no wiggle room here. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not a recommendation. It's not something full of options. It's a command. And we can rise up against commands. We can battle because it's a command. That's more to do with our ego than anything else. The command to love is the ultimate transformative command. And that's the business we're in. We're in the business of transformation. The third key is abiding. Again a verb, again an action word. We are never alone. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, abides in us and with us, making intercession, constant intercessions for us. Christ becomes our hope of glory. So we seek and learn to abide in Christ, who desires to abide in us. He, as Nathaniel preached on last week, he is our vine and we are his branches. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in his love. There is a mystical sense in which the Christian is in Christ and Christ in the Christian. Now, not everyone experiences this mystical dimension, but there are straightforward and simple ways of experiencing abiding. Abiding is like a way of maintaining continual contact with a friend you really love. Someone you want to hang out with, and it is effortless. Think of how we have been with other people at times when we have, think how we have been with other people when we have fallen in love. You know, never out of each other's sight. Same here. Abiding in Christ means something like that. Look, the secret of the life of Jesus was his contact with God. Again and again he withdrew into solitary places to meet with him and simply be with him. We need contact with Jesus to develop the relationship, to build up a history with him, to deepen the love. And practice sitting and just being together, hanging out. We need to take time and take deliberate steps to ensure abiding becomes what is now called a lifestyle choice. And the Holy Spirit will help. Fact. For some of us, abiding in Christ will become a mystical experience which is beyond words to express. These basic steps require rearranging life's priorities, exploring prayer, befriending silence in such a way that there is never a day when we give ourselves a chance to neglect our dear friend. Practicing abiding in Christ transforms our life and our conduct, and we bring glory to God. So you may have guessed the point, the key I didn't speak about is obey. We learn to obey also. And in that learning process, in that context of the relationship with God, John's words prove true. It's not burdensome. It becomes a delight. So by way of conclusion, and I'm changing things because there was this came in to my head and I've stayed with it. So to conclude, there is a world of lost and seeking souls outside these walls. Fact. Reach out to them. As the former Bishop of Durham, Tom Wright, put it, it is not the case that God simply accepts us as we are. Don't worry. He invites us as we are. He's not accepting us as we are, but he looks at us and he invites us as we are, warts and all. He invites us as we are, but responding to that invitation from God always involves a complete transformation which is acted. Again, our action words, which is acted out in repentance, forgiveness, baptism, and the receiving of the Holy Spirit. We, our friends, co-laborers, witnesses, representatives, lights of hope of the King of Kings in this city. May the Holy Spirit increasingly pour himself out, enabling us to believe, love, obey, and forever abide in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.